From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Oh, we are excited today. I got to tell you, we've got a great show. Filmmaker Michael Moore will be joining us right here at the Chase Auditorium. He'll be playing Not My Job. Now, we like to think of ourselves as a different kind of show, so instead of asking Michael about the usual things, his new movie, his Oscar, his politics, why he hates America, we instead are going to do something a little different. We're going to ask Michael Moore for fashion hints. Little known fact, you've seen him on camera, but when he does radio, Michael Moore goes all Hugo Boss. It's very, very impressive. Stay tuned for that, but first, call us up to play our games. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Lisa Passberg from Pinellas Park, Florida.
Pinellas Park?
Actually, originally I'm from Michigan, very close to where Michael Moore was.
Oh, really?
Yes, so from Rochester.
So is he a hometown hero to you?
In many ways, yes.
In many ways. All right. It's a qualified thing. That's fine. That's okay. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. Let's say hello first to the host of NPR's forthcoming new morning show, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Good.
Next, say hello to a deputy editor at the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hello. Hi, Lisa.
And lastly, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe and the author of the book Moving of the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello. Hi, Lisa.
Lisa, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle will now recreate for you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine.
Great. I'm very excited.
Okay. Now, for your first quote, let us welcome to the stage the Reverend Al Sharpton.
A girl in high school catches you looking at her, and she starts wearing nice dresses. It doesn't mean she's going to date you, but she's at least teasing you, so it really increases your hope. This is a serious tease.
You know what's the amazing thing about Sharpton? That could be about almost anything.
Yeah, I know. But according to the Reverend Sharpton, what politician was engaging in that kind of serious tease when he announced this week that he was leaving the Republican Party?
Oh, Michael Bloomberg.
In fact, yes. Michael Bloomberg. Very good. So on the one hand, the mayor of New York is a short, liberal New York Jew. But he looks taller and more attractive when he's standing on his money. A fortune estimated at a minimum of $5 billion. Bloomberg is no longer a Republican, as you heard. He is not going to go back to the Democrats with whom he started. Instead, he is rumored to be contemplating a third party whose single platform plank will be eliminating all taxes with the slogan, "It's okay, I got it."
But, you know, I think Sharpton was completely wrong. I think Giuliani's the one with all the nice dresses.
That's true. You know, we did some calculation. George Bush was elected, quotes, in 2000, with about, in 2000, with about, say, 64, 65 million votes. That was enough to get him in the White House. So Bloomberg has enough money to pay 65 million Americans $15 each to vote for him. And you know an American will do almost anything for 15 bucks. Am I right? So this could be his road to the White House.
You know, I think it would be totally wasteful, too, because I think you can basically get anybody for a coupon from Starbucks.
That's what I mean. All right, very good. Here, Lisa, is your next quote.
He scores record or near-record lows on every major issue, even the guy I'd most like to have a beer with issue.
That's the blogger Maru the Crankpot. Yes, that's really what the blog is called. Reporting on a new Newsweek poll that's very bad news for whom?
President Bush.
Yes, indeed. President Carter thought that he had set a mark that no one could surpass. But now President Bush is officially less popular than Jimmy Carter was at his worst. A new Newsweek poll gives him just a 26% approval rating, and they even asked Laura three times, which he thought, just trying to soften the results a little. Somewhere, the ghost of Richard Nixon is getting worried. He's the only one who ever went lower. Democrats should not get cocky, though. Approval ratings for Congress are even lower than that. Most surprising, the democratically controlled Congress had an approval rating of just 27% among Democrats, which shows that now that they have power, Democrats have given up impotently hating President Bush and returned to their historical priority, impotently hating themselves. All right, Lisa, you're doing very well. Here is your last quote. It's another entry from the Carl Castle songbook.
Well, Peter, this song came into the news this past week, but I'm going to give it the Richard Burton arrangement or version because I don't know how it goes. But here are the words.
That's how we prepare here.
You and I were meant to fly higher than the clouds. We'll sail across the sky. So come with me, and you will feel that we're soaring, that we're floating up so high, because you and I were meant to fly.
That was the song You and I by Celine Dion. This week it was named the official campaign song of whom?
That was Hillary Clinton.
Yes, indeed.
She might have lost my vote.
Yeah, well, there's a problem. I got to tell you. They say you can see how a person will handle the big decisions by how they handle the small ones. We're all now worried for our nation. After much hoopla, Hillary Clinton announced the winner of the contest to choose her official campaign song. Let it be a credit to the sense of humor of the American populace that they selected to represent the aspirations of Mrs. Clinton, a song sung by a Frenchian, originally written for a TV commercial for a Canadian airline. That's right. It's a jingle. The song narrowly beat out the runners-up, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. And in a disputed call, it beat out the sound of the Aflac duck quacking.
Bill had that Fleetwood Mac song when he ran first time, remember?
Yes.
Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
Which even, I believe, a member of Fleetwood Mac said, please don't use it anymore, it's cheesy.
Hillary has the Celine Dion. Their daughter is named after a lyric in a Joni Mitchell song. Right. Has there ever been a couple in the history of the world that needs Otis Redding more than these two?
I spent probably 70 to 80 hours this week just researching this issue. I'm not even kidding. I was on Celine Dion blogs, which is a frightening place to be. And I called Clinton's office in Virginia, and I asked if I could talk to the youngest person there. And they gave me someone in the PR department, and I asked them, like, how do you feel about the fact you're going to hear Celine Dion 30 times a day for the next year and a half? And they just started sobbing quietly. They just sobbed, no comment.
Carl, how did Lisa do in our quiz?
Lisa had a great game, Peter. Lisa, you had three correct answers. I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Oh, yay.
Oh, yay, indeed.